So, starting something, a new series of today, and we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes. And we can find those in Matthew 5, if you want to turn there, while we're kind of getting prepared. Matthew 5 is on page 3 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. But before we get into this discussion of the Beatitudes, I got a quiz for you. How about that? A pop quiz. Haven't even given you any information except for that. This list, the Beatitudes, is a list of things. How does each item in the Beatitudes start? You guys know? Blessed. Blessed. Which gets me to my next question. Actually, blessed are, right? Yeah. What's the proper way to pronounce that? And this is a matter of opinion. Is it blessed or is it blessed? As you're reading those. So I want to see a show of hands on this one. How about the blesseds? Who are the blesseds? I mean, we're all blessed. So, you know. How about the blessed with a st? I got one and it's... Oh, I got a few. All right. Yeah. It's hard to read it as so you'll probably find me flipping back and forth. It's hard to read it because you probably have the old like the King James coming through in you know, with the blessed are and blessed be, and you know, well, there's something special about the blesseds part. But how about this? What does it mean to be blessed? Before we get into our scripture this morning and talk about that blessed, when you picture blessed, being blessed, or, you know, blessed are, what does that mean to you?
Good things.
Good things? Such as?
Love.
Love. Okay. What else? What are things that you find blessed by, or?
I think it can be things that aren't necessarily good.
Things that aren't necessarily good? Okay. Okay. What else?
Children.
Yeah, as I wander to this side of the... kids everywhere. And I've already talked Everett to sleep. All right, good deal.
Favor.
Favor. Yeah. Explain a little bit. Yeah. You said it. Okay. His presence through all of it. Okay. All right. Good. Anything else? All the above and much, much more. Yeah. Blessed. Being blessed is, well, a blessing. But yeah. This is, in essence, it means the true sense of the word is to be happy, fortunate, blissful. I mean, that's the word that's used here. You know, that's another other ways to translate the word that's used here in our scripture this morning. So think of all of this in there as we get into it, and we'll talk about that when we get there. So let's go to Matthew 5, and it's verses 1 through 12 that we're gonna talk about this morning. But the thing is, we're gonna talk about these 12 verses for the next 2 weeks as well. So we're gonna break it down into bite-sized chunks. So, nope. Am I plugged in? Yeah. There we go. So Matthew 5, beginning at verse 1, says, "Seeing the crowds, Jesus, you know that, right? He went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed," I'll go ahead with the blesseds, okay? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So I want to notice something. This is basically a list of characteristics, mannerisms, whatever you want to call it, of citizens of heaven. That's what this is a list of. And I was reading along, some people think that this is kind of like Jesus' standard sermon. You know, like he would start with this one and then, you know, kind of go on. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, which covers chapters 5 through 7 in Matthew. And we're not going to cover all of that, especially not today. But he would start off with this, blessed are. That's the other thing I want you to realize here. It says blessed are, not will be, not blessed were, not blessed someday, you're going to be, blessed are, right now. It's kind of like when Jesus came in and he's talking to people and he's saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's right here, right now. It's not something we have to wait on. Because it's right here, right now. And these blessings are right here, right now. It's not something that we have to wait on. They're truly right here in the present. And Jesus sits down and starts teaching his disciples these truths. These are all truths. I mean, Jesus can't not tell the truth. He starts to teach his disciples these truths, and these truths are that godly people do these things. These are descriptions and things that happen, because not all of them are characteristics. Some of them happen to people, the persecuted, citizens of heaven. We have these traits, and those that do have these traits are truly His and truly blessed. So let's get started. So first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. When you think of the poor in spirit, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about people that are, you know, down on their luck or down and out, or, you know, life's just falling apart on them? What would you think that poor in spirit is all about here? Because that could be part of it, but that's not really what Jesus was talking about. That could definitely be part of it. And that's where we're going to go a little bit with this, except that it's us. We can be that poor in spirit. I want you to think of yourselves in the spiritual realm, especially with our relationship with Jesus, as beggars. When we take our prayers to God and we ask Him for that, we're begging and pleading for Him to listen to our messages or listen to our prayers, to answer our prayers. The poor in spirit is an example of recognizing that without God, we are morally bankrupt in our spiritual lives. Everything that we have in the spirit comes from Him. And we're like those beggars. I want you to, you know, every time I think of panhandlers or beggars, I think of going and watching a Reds game. Because, you know, as you're walking up to the ball diamond, up to the field, you know, you see all these people out there, you know, with asking for money, asking for the handouts and stuff, you know. That's kind of the way we are with God. Taking ourselves to Him and begging Him for His Spirit in our lives and recognizing that we've got nothing without Him. In other words, we're in like a spiritual poverty without Him. And with Him in our lives, this isn't something that we just do once and beg for Him to give it to us and it's done. It's something that we keep doing. We keep begging. We keep taking ourselves back to His feet, asking Him for His Spirit in our lives, asking Him for those blessings, asking for guidance. You know, everything that we ask Him for, we're begging Him for. That's kind of what He's talking about in the poor of spirit, that we're so poor in our spirit, in our poverty in our spirit, that we need God to fill that hole. And like I said, it's not something that we just do once and it's done. We keep going back to Him and keep begging. Not to remind God that we want Him in our lives. Because He should already know that, right? God knows everything. Why would we keep going back to God and begging at this point? It's to remind us that we need Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit when they recognize that everything they have comes from Him. which kind of feeds off of what you were saying, Alice. The poor in spirit. And says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are citizens of heaven that recognize that they need God above everything, and they need Him so much that they beg for Him over and over again. It's not like I'm confessing my sins over and over again, which you can do, but you know, once you confess them, they're forgiven. It's like, I want you, I want you, I want you. I can't get enough of you. And He's like, I've already given you all of me. Well, help me let more in. That's kind of what this is all about. Excuse me. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When they realize that utter dependence on God. And then we inherit the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It says, we get the gates of heaven. I just want you to picture them like flung open. And it says, welcomed right in to that place where, you know, Jesus is making that place for us. Matthew 25:34 says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed from my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You catch that? From the foundation of the world. In other words, it's always meant to have been this way. This was always His plan. From the foundation of the world. He's wanted you to beg for His presence. He's wanted you to accept Him into your lives. So nothing has changed here except us. We're changing and welcoming Him in. I cannot speak this morning. But come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit it. Scripture tells us that we're joint heirs with Jesus when we accept Him as Savior. So, His is the kingdom of God. His is the kingdom of heaven. You know, by the way, Matthew is the only gospel that uses that term kingdom of heaven. Everything else is kingdom of God. And you know, he's really driving that home. So from the foundation of the world, it's a kingdom that we were always meant to be part of. And a time and a place where things are put back the way He always wanted them to be. How amazing is that? It's going to go back to the way He always wanted it to be. The next one. Oh, sorry. Did I skip? Must have. Oh well, we'll go to the next one here. There. I did. No, there we go. Blessed are those who mourn, is the next one, for they shall be comforted. It says there are all sorts of things to mourn over, aren't there? I mean, we lose people in our lives or things don't go right in our lives, or we lose our job, or, you know, we feel like almost back to that poor in spirit thing that comes first in our minds, like life is falling apart. Blessed are those who mourn. Once again, this really isn't what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about something else. It could be that we mourn. Let's look at Israel's place in the world in Jesus' day. What was their life like? They were ruled by foreigners. You know, Rome had come in and was ruling Israel, right? They were allowed to practice their religion, but, you know, under the watchful eye of Caesar's men. That seems like that's something to be mournful about. They have people that are perverting their religion. You know, they have different sects of people. You have the Pharisees, you have the Sadducees, you have the scribes, you have all these people. They can't even agree on what the right stuff is to be worshiping or how to worship. That sounds like something to be mournful of. Does any of this sound like stuff that's still going on today? People can't agree on how to worship or what we should worship or why, or and the government has got to stick their hands in everything. And I'm talking about the government of the world government. I'm not just talking about ours. That's stuff to be mournful about. But once again, he's talking about something a little more closer to home. And this is getting back to mourning our sinful state. Right here, this guy. You know, number one here. When you mourn that sinful state and realize just how far lost you were and how far you were from God, that is something to mourn over. And he says, blessed are you when you mourn over that, because you're recognizing that we were evading him. And blessed are you when you recognize that, when you mourn over that. Because when you're mourning over that and when you're sad about this, that means you recognize what it is that you're missing. What it is that you need. And it says that you will be comforted. How? Well, how about salvation? That sounds pretty comforting. And that's just the start. Salvation, redemption from those sins. Welcome into the family of God. Oh, speaking of which, how about that family of God? That's our job to help comfort those that are mourning this time. And this is something that can pop up in our lives over and over too. We can still come back and mourn over our previous, and it's our job as brothers and sisters in Christ to recognize when that's happening to a fellow brother and sister and help lift them up out of that and say, okay, but do you believe that you've been forgiven? Yeah. Then let's start there. And let's comfort our brothers and sisters. God comforts us through His grace. Jesus comforts us through that salvation that we can have at His expense of His life. The Spirit that God puts inside, that dwells inside each and every one of us when we accept Him into our lives, comforts us by leading us, guiding us, helping us kind of decipher right from wrong, interceding for us with words that, with groanings too deep for words, right? That kind of thing. But then there's got this whole collection of people that have all that same stuff that are together that comfort each other. Blessed are those who are mourned, because they're going to be comforted. And then blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Quick question for you. What is meek not?
Proud.
Proud? Okay. What else?
Weak.
It's not weak. It's not proud. It's not weak. Yeah. What's that?
Arrogant.
Arrogant? Yeah. Meek is not weak. It's humble. It's gentle. It's Jesus. Jesus was meek. He was humble. He was gentle. Would you call Jesus weak? Well, He's God. All powerful, right? Almighty. Or you can picture Him running into the temple and tipping over the tables and chasing people out with a whip. That's not because Jesus lost His cool. That was just. No, meek is not weak. It's that gentleness, that humbleness, but it's control. It's control is what that is. Because you know how it takes a lot of strength to be able to control those things that make me want to be proud. Arrogant. Or anything else that I want me to force my will or anything like that. It takes control over our spirit, over our spiritual lives to do those things. To some people, gentleness just comes. You know, it's a natural thing. To others, it's a struggle. And to even those naturally gentle people, it's a struggle sometimes. To not lose your cool. But we're talking spiritually here too. We're talking about, you know, that self-control in that spiritual realm. Realizing those fruits of the Spirit, right? From Galatians. love, joy, peace, patience. Evan, can you dance for me? No? All right. They dance the Macarena to that, so you know, whatever. You know, but all of that stuff in our lives and put to work, and there's that peace that comes from that. And remembering in the back of our head also, you know, that whole, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? He'll take care of anything that needs retribution. That doesn't mean we don't rebuke our fellow brothers and sisters when they need it in love and in gentleness and kindness and humility, because somebody did that for us once. Blessed are the meek, those that can control themselves, control these desires to overcome through power. And it says, for they shall inherit the earth. These are the kind of people that I want in my kingdom, Jesus says. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So what does it mean to inherit the earth? Does that mean by being humble and meek, we're going to assume power in the world? It could happen, right? If people get wise and start actually, I will use our nation as an example on this one. If people got wise and actually voted by their faith, what would happen? And I'm talking worldwide here as well. But you know, instead of complaining about where we're at, talk with your hands, talk with your ballot, talk with your heart. And then pray that the people that we're supporting do the same thing. But so yeah, that could happen, but that's not really what he's talking about. He's talking about Kingdom of Heaven stuff. They're welcome to the Kingdom of Heaven. For the Kingdom of Heaven is theirs. This goes right back to the whole poor in spirit. These first three are so tied together in this. Inheriting the Kingdom of Heaven. All the world is God's. He made everything. You know, the cattle on 1,000 hills are His. So everything is His. And the meek, His people, get to be blessed in that. Welcomed into that whole realm. There's that inheriting, that joint heirs with Jesus thing, right? It says, in accepting Christ into our lives, He accepted us into His. And there's that joint heirs in the Kingdom of God. And then I want to share something with you here, because it's from Revelations. This is the end of the Bible. Literally. I think there's only 21 chapters in there, right? Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. You catching that? God's dwelling place is with us, is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be known as their God. Here's that agreement stuff going on here. We've begged and pleaded for Him for so, so long, and He's going to do it. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also He said, write this down, for those words are trustworthy and true. I'm making all things new. I'm making you new. I'm making you into the person that you need to be so that you can be part of this new heaven and new earth. So that God's dwelling place can be right there among you. How cool is that? Now we've covered just the first three of these Beatitudes, but notice something else about these three. In the world, would things like these make someone happy? Being poor in spirit, being mournful, being meek. That doesn't sound like something that the world would see as a blessing to me. That doesn't seem like something that the world would see as making someone happy. Happy is stuff. Happy is not being sad. Happy is, I got better stuff than y'all. Or at least I've got really great stuff. I'm happy. I'm powerful. That's what the world sees. It's not how God thinks. It's not how God thinks at all. We may live in this world, but those of us that are in the family of Jesus and joint heirs with Him, we're not of this world. We're merely pilgrims passing through, sharing Jesus and the Jesus life as we go through life. I know it sounds different because it is different. And if we are God's children, saved by His grace, and house His Spirit inside us, it says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's your individual body and the church body. Temple of the Holy Spirit. If we house the Holy Spirit in us, we're going to be different than the rest of the world. So I have one more question for you this morning. Does your life look different because of the grace of God? And because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Something for you to decide. It should look different than the rest of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this invitation into how You see people as blessed. And that how we can see that we are blessed through You. Just by our very lives, by the way we interact with You, by the way we interact with each other. And when we see our meekness, when we see our depravity, our moral bankruptcy, our these things in our lives where we need You more and more, and when we take it to Your feet, when we take it to the cross, Father, that we are blessed because You take that load. You offer that forgiveness. You offer that salvation. You offer that peace that passes understanding. That even in the darkest of our times, we can see ourselves as truly blessed, truly happy, because we are part of Your family. And Father, I pray that we are different from the rest of the world. I pray that our lives are different when people see us and interact with us and see a change in us that just is not worldly. But that is heavenly. And that is from You. And that is from Your Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us and showing itself to others. Himself to others. So Father, we thank You so much for that. We ask Your help in changing where we need to change. In being different where we need to be different. And focusing on You. Focusing on You in our lives and feeling blessed for it. Father, we love You. We thank You. We ask Your help in all of this. And we pray this all in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.